Yep. Good morning, everybody. Apologies again for a slight technical hitch. I'm going to read out the intimations as per on the screen, I hope. Right, welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. Visitors may wish to sign a visitor's book. We have cats with us today, hence the dinosaurs. Blackwood's Care Shoebox Appeal 2023. The great news is that we have collected, quite amazingly, 68 boxes. And there's more. That reminds me of something anyway, we'll not go there. And £94.50 in donations so far. I think that's brilliant. If there are any last minute items, please speak to Elaine, who spoke from somewhere. I don't know where she is. I just heard her voice. Our contributions will be delivered to the charity during the coming week. Where are you, Elaine? Oh, you're there. Right, good. Sorry. Right. Christmas Craft Fair. This is a very big thank you to everyone who helped run the fair and all the people who attended and supported it. An announcement will be made in church regarding amount raised. The amount raised was, and I hope I've got this right, if it's slightly out, we roll the drums, I was so excited about this, £1,357. Whoa! I'm so excited about that. That's because I'm the... Anyway, sorry. No, we missed one. Could I just go back again? Sorry about that. That's it. Christmas Craft Fair. Yeah, I've done that. Sorry, can we go back? I do apologise. I wanted to say that after the service, I have to say this now, after the service, there's still an opportunity for you to purchase Christmas Fair items, including some of the goodies, the home baking that was not consumed yesterday. Unbelievably, there's still some there. So after service, you got the opportunity to go and have a look in the vegetable. Right, sorry. Warm Spaces is back, and the Sanctuary Cinema. We're pleased to announce that the church will be taking part in the Warm Spaces initiative once again. This time, we are opening the church on Thursday afternoons through to the end of March. On alternative weeks, there will be games and other activities. The Sanctuary Cinema will operate on the other days, starting on the 16th of November, when the film will be Swimming with Men. Now, that's exciting. Apparently, it's hilarious. Anyway, that's what I've been told. I meant to look at the preview. Remembrance Day, that's next Sunday, the 12th of November. Worship will take place at 11:30 as normal, and that will be followed by an act of remembrance at the War Memorial around 12:30. And then after that, you can then visit the Masonic Lodge, where you've got soup, sandwiches, tea and coffee available. Now, where did I get to? Oh, yeah, Gift Day. Our annual Gift Day will take place on Sunday the 19th of November. Everyone in our membership role and contact list will receive a communication about this, I never spelt this very correctly, in the near future. Next. Thank you. Cairnhill Parent Council Christmas Fair. The Cairnhill Parent Council is holding a Christmas fair at the school on the 27th of November, 22nd of November, between 6 and 8. The church will have a stall. The Parent Council have asked for anyone interested in singing at the event to come forward. Please speak to Irene Scott. Anyone interested, please come to the manse on Thursday the 26th of October. Ignore that part, that shouldn't be there. Don't know why it's there. Did everybody hear that? At what time? 7, right. We think it's 7 o'clock. There's a practice on Wednesday the 8th, this Wednesday coming, for those who are wanting to come along. I can't because I'm told I can't sing. Anyway, church newsletter, December issue. Contributions are needed for our December Christmas newsletter. Please consider writing something for the newsletter. This can be about the church activity or anything else of interest to our readership across the parish. We aim to encourage everyone in the community to take an interest in our village church. Speak to Derek and or send in contributions to the address that's on the intimations. There are further intimations in the printed sheet. These are available on the website or via our Facebook if you do not have a copy. Now, just before I finish, there's a phone call. Sorry, I've not walked away from the microphone there. Yes, there was a silent auction held yesterday for a beautiful painting of a sea landscape. Can I lift this up? Can you? What is a tapestry?
A tapestry.
Are you going to hold that up?
I'll hold it up for you, George.
Well, I didn't want you to do that, but anyway, there you go.
I'm his glamorous assistant.
A tapestry. This tapestry was made by Marion. And unfortunately, it wasn't brought out in time yesterday afternoon, well, at a later date. So it was out, but it wasn't. Yes, it wasn't obvious. So what we're doing today is you've got a wonderful chance, folks. It's a silent auction, and it's a case of throwing in your name, your mobile number, and your bid on this piece of paper after the service. And it goes in a bag. It goes in that bag there. Okay, right. Well, you could maybe manage that then, Mrs. White. Yes. No. Right. And now Norman will then decide who's going to get the tapestry. Okay. Right. That, I think that finishes everything. If I have been, have I left anything out?
Just one other intimation is to say that the West Fife Village Church cluster is having a soup lunch in Wine Guilds Hall from 1 o'clock onwards today, and we always over cater, so even if you haven't got the main night, you'll be very welcome to come along to that and meet people from the other churches that we will be working with over the next however long. Thank you, George. Thank you.
Dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive our gifts and bless them. They come with our loving care and our desire to serve you. Receive our money, receive our time, receive our abilities as we use them to serve you. In Jesus' name, Amen. I've got one or two wee questions. What was special about last Sunday? I got a gift last Sunday because there's a place I like to be. Anybody remember all the way back to last Sunday? Maybe there's still a teenager inside me because I enjoyed my extra hour in bed. Recycled teenager. So, okay, that was Sunday. What was special about Tuesday? It was Halloween. Did you get dressed up?
A dinosaur.
You were a dinosaur. Are dinosaurs very, very popular at the moment? How about you guys? Did you dress up? As?
A dead bride.
A dead bride? Lovely. A World War II soldier, right?
I was Princess Fiona from Shrek.
You were Princess Fiona from Shrek.
Full Paul Shrek.
Full green makeup, right? Okay. Anybody else dress up? I just went with this mask. Apparently, it's scary enough. So, Halloween is actually followed by two other days that are special in the church. Do you know what the word Halloween means? Do you know where it comes from? Who knows the what is Halloween a kind of shortened version of? All Hallows evening. Or All Hallows Eve. And Hallow is a word that we don't use very much. The only place that we really use it week after week in church is in the Lord's Prayer, where we say, hallowed be your name. And the word hallow is an old word that means holy. And the reason it's called All Hallows Eve is that the next day is about people who are holy, because the 1st of November is All Saints Day. So that's people who have done really good things because they believe in God. The day after All Saints Day is also important, but you probably have to have a background that might be Roman Catholic or it might be Anglican, because these are the churches that... So after All Saints Day, 2nd of November, All Souls Day, yes. It was Elizabeth. I thought you were being clever, Margaret. And All Souls Day is about remembering the people that we've known right through our lives. People who are with us now and people who are no longer with us. People like my grandparents. I mean, my granny was born in 1895. A very long time ago. So, but she had a big effect on me, because grandparents quite often do. Mostly good. And we remember those folk. So sometimes we think of Halloween as about all the scary things. And I'm certainly scared of dinosaurs, and I'm not sure about dead brides. Well done for the soldier. I'm not sure about Princess Fiona from Shrek. And I'm not even going to ask Claire, because I've seen some of the things on Facebook. Hmm? Oh, is that what it was? Right. Yes, you see all sorts of things. So we think about these scary things, but actually, All Hallows Eve, if you go by the name, is about the next day and the following day when we remember all the people that have helped us learn about God. And that is important for us. And it's good to remember those folk. And I wasn't going to say this, but I will say it. I actually met somebody that was very important and I hadn't seen them for over 50 years. In fact, probably about 55 years. And this was a man that lived next door, and he was great fun. He did all sorts of crazy things, but he did two really nice things to me. And one of them was he gave me a bike, and he also gave me a train set when I was a little boy. But the most important thing was that they were the people who took my mum and dad to church. And then I went to church. And so begins a story of how I end up here with a bit of white plastic around my neck. So all of these people are who we remember. And it's a celebration of what's light and good. So, we're going to sing a song, and then I think you're heading off for your own activities. But we'll sing first, and since I don't have a piece of paper in front of me, there we are. Hymn 193, God is Love, He's the Care. That's hymn number 193. Have just gone out. Let's worship God now in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we gather in your presence to offer our worship. Here we rejoice in all that you are and in all that you do. As a loving Father, you reach out to us, for you created us and you provide for us. We are dependent upon you for body, mind, and spirit. Through Jesus, you reveal your love and call us to live as your people. We rejoice in Jesus' life on this earth. We look to Jesus as Saviour. We rejoice in his presence and all that he teaches. We know that we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Through the power and presence of the Spirit, we are gifted and enabled to live as your children. We give thanks for all that we have as your people, as those who belong to the kingdom of heaven. But we confess that we are not perfect. We know that we easily choose what is wrong. Even when we want to do what is right, we choose wrong. And too often, we know that we are making wrong choices. But when we turn to you, our God, when we confess our sin and seek your forgiveness, you are gracious and forgiving. So we take a moment to lay before you the things that need your forgiving touch. We thank you that we are forgiven, that you take away our sin and our guilt is no more. Bless us, we pray, and enable us to be more faithful in our living. It is in Jesus' name that we gather in this place and ask that you hear us now as we use the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we turn to our reading, we are going to read from the book of Psalms, where David talks about his dependence upon God. And then we're going to read a passage where Jesus teaches us not to judge, or rather that our judgment, the way we judge others, is how we will be judged. Part of the reason for choosing these readings was the theme for today is saints and sinners. And today, of course, we have a very strange day, the 5th of November. It is very odd what we celebrate on the 5th of November, and we're going to come to that later. But before that, Dorothy is going to read from Psalm 34 and Luke chapter 6.
To apologise for my voice, I haven't got a frog, I've got a toad in my throat. We're reading from Psalm chapter 34, verses 1 to 9. I will extol the Lord. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look at him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you are his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. Our second reading is from Luke chapter 6, reading from verse 37 to 42, judging others. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told him this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word.
We're going to sing a very well-known hymn, Amazing Grace, which was written by John Newton. Many of us will know that John Newton had a checkered past. He was very involved in the slave trade back in the 18th century and went through an experience of realizing how wrong his life had been. And so when he talks about forgiveness, he's looking very much at his own life, and the wretch that he talks about is himself. It is almost an autobiographical hymn, but one that people down through the years have found a resonance, a connection. So let's sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Been a fair bit about this time of year in the press. The debate, a lot of it, has been about fireworks and how they should be regulated. Some of the questions are around safety, other questions are about environment, and there are also financial issues to be discussed, particularly with the bigger displays of fireworks, which can cost a significant amount of money. Quite literally, you're seeing money go up in smoke. And of course, the counter-argument has been, well, we are allowed a bit of fun, and we've become over-regulated, and all of these issues. Firework displays, of course, now are in all sorts of times. They're not just about what we tend to call bonfire night, though in the past, Guy Fawkes Day. Many of us will remember from a time past when bits of waste ground would see a slowly growing bonfire, and you would hope that the boys from the next bonfire down the road didn't set your one on fire before bonfire night. And in some places, an effigy of Guy Fawkes was paraded, and there was the shout of "Penny for the Guy." That was pretty well dying out when I was a youngster, but we still had a guy on the bonfire. I remember very few fireworks at bonfire night, Guy Fawkes night. And my favourite thing, and the thing that most people were looking forward to, was a sparkler. How many of us here remember parents saying, "Now wear your gloves because you'll get, you know, in case you get burnt," and all of that. And there you had your sparkler, which usually took a bit of lighting, if I remember rightly. And 10, 15 seconds later, it was gone. But we were so excited. It was all a bit of fun, mostly for children. However, as a child, I knew very little about what this fun was meant to be. I knew a little bit about Guy Fawkes from the gunpowder plot. Little did we know the gruesome event that we were celebrating. The plot was to blow up the English Parliament, along with James I of England. The only real connection with Scotland was that James was James VI of Scotland, because at this point there was still a Scottish Parliament. The reason for the plot was to address the persecution that Roman Catholics were suffering in a Protestant state. And just in case we think that this is all about bad people south of the border, the plight of Roman Catholics in Scotland was significant, and the Scottish Church does not have a good history back in those days. Many historians believe that the plot was always going to fail, and that Guy Fawkes was made to be the fall guy, if you forgive the pun. His trial was decided before any evidence was presented. And King James was very clear that this event would never be forgotten. The execution of Fawkes was not only to be public, but it was to be commemorated. Everyone was to remember that regicide is an act of treason, and this is what happens to traitors. In today's world, we would call what was planned an act of terrorism. And certainly, had the plot succeeded, it would have caused carnage. It's difficult to understand how this act of violence could possibly help Roman Catholics. The result of this failed gunpowder plot was to make the life of Catholics so much harder in England. Discrimination increased with official sanction. People with no part in the act suffered significantly as a result. Maybe the transition to bonfire night at least brings to a close celebrating an event that has nothing good in it. A story of conspirators planning what is evil, a judicial system intent upon revenge, and all claiming that they are on the side of right. The history behind bonfires and fireworks on 5th of November is a lesson in evil simply bringing more evil. A wrong act does not bring good. There are startling parallels with what we are seeing in the world today. The unfolding tragedy of what is happening in Gaza has many similar elements. And we are clearly seeing evil bringing yet more evil and resulting in the seeds of yet more hatred and future suffering for both Israel and Palestine. What Hamas did showed a complete disregard for their own people. All who comment on that act of terror in Israel are clear that they must have known that it would result in death and destruction across Gaza, but they did it anyway because they thought they were in the right. The response of the Israeli government and military is brutal, and many fear that this revenge will simply sow the seeds of hatred that will result in yet another act of revenge, of destruction, of death. What is clear is that when this moment of conflict comes to an end, if there is no desire to work for peace, that peace will merely be a pause in what has been a decades-long conflict. The need for ceasefire is merely a pause unless there is a desire to work for good. For the good of Israel, for the good of Palestine, for Israeli and Palestinian in equal measure. Of course, in every conflict, there is an element of belief that we are right and they are wrong. History tells us that in every conflict, regardless of the cause and who is to blame for the start, there is evil on both sides, but there is also good on both sides. In conflict, there is no clear division between saint and sinner. From personal conflict to world wars, this is true. Peace does not come through victory. Peace comes through reconciliation. And that requires sober judgment. It is the ability to see the good in the other and the wrong in ourselves. To know that the enemy is not all bad and we are not all good. In almost every conflict, there is a temptation to see ourselves as being in the right, such that even where we do wrong, it is the fault of the other. I've always found Jesus' words on judgment to be absolutely challenging. That warning that the way that we will be judged by God is actually our choice. Jesus says the measure that you use is how things will be measured against you. So when I call somebody an idiot, that's the measure that's used for me. If I am generous and say, well, maybe you were having a bad day when you did the thing that upset me, that's how God will judge me. If we choose to blame the other, that's the measure God uses. If we choose to be conciliatory, that is how we will be measured. The world at the moment is as uncertain as it has ever been. The two conflicts in the news at this time both have the potential to draw in other nations and become a greater threat to all of us. As I've watched and listened and thought over these last weeks in terms of what's happening in the Middle East and that longer conflict in Ukraine. And so many world leaders have been very reticent to make too much of a black and white statement that is taking sides. Those words have sometimes been condemned because they're too cautious and there's a lack of action and it's frustrating. But maybe we've just learned something from the two great wars of last century, where nations, because of treaties and lots of political things, were drawn into conflict. Certainly the First World War, it seems unimaginable that we had our own head of state meeting the head of state of Germany without any problems, and within months we were at war. Maybe that reticence is no bad thing if it prevents what could be so much worse. And thinking about that theme of saints and sinners and how we pass judgment, and Jesus' words about taking the plank out your own eye before you try and sort out anybody else, all of that, I was looking, as I always do, for a little quotation, and one of the first things that came up was these words from Nelson Mandela. Someone who had maybe more right than most of us to want revenge, to want recompense, to have something because of the way he had been treated and the way the people he represented had been treated. But he chose something very different. And we might look at him and say, this is what a saint should be. But there are his words. I'm not a saint, unless you think of a saint as a sinner who keeps on trying. In that little phrase is encapsulated so much of the gospel. What is a saint? Well, if we look at the people we put saint with, you know, Saint Peter, Saint John, all of those disciples and others, what are they? What would they have seen in themselves? A sinner who keeps on trying. And so in that phrase from Nelson Mandela, perhaps a very clear definition of who and what a saint is. A saint is a sinner who keeps on trying. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn that we've not sung before. And I first sang this when I was on holiday just a few weeks ago. And I thought, what good words. Now, it's always difficult when there's something that we've not sung before. So what I'm going to do with this hymn is we're going to sit. We're just going to stay seated and sing or read the words as a kind of prayer that leads up to our prayers for others. So don't worry if you can't sing all the notes, because even in the best of times I can't sing all the notes. But these are good words for us just to think through. So we're going to sit and sing, I Will Offer Up My Life.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we offer our prayers for others, remembering that you are a God of love and compassion, that you long to make right and to make good and to bring us into fellowship with you and with each other. As we reach out in prayer, we are very aware of the amount of suffering in our world because of conflict and war. Over these last weeks, our thoughts and prayers have been very much with those caught up in the conflict between Palestinian and Israeli forces. The stories of slaughter, the pictures of destruction, revealing the evil of conflict, the suffering and fear on both sides, creating even greater division and perpetuating the cycle of violence. We pray for ceasefire, but not just that bombs and bullets stop, but for peace, peace that includes justice for the Palestinian people and security for the Israeli people. We long for that place we call the Holy Land to know peace. We remember too the people caught up in the Russia-Ukraine conflict. We think of the destruction there and all those words about this being a long war. And we think of those conflicts that are not in the news, but carry on year after year. Almighty God, we ask you to touch the hearts of those who use violence as a political tool. We long for a day when peoples and nations can live at peace with each other. We think of the world that we are part and other fears. Fears about the environment, fears about artificial intelligence, fears about what humanity can do for good and yet choose wrong, our use of resource without care, our use of technology for things that are not good. And yet we know that all of these things can be good, for we have that capacity within us. So we ask you to change the heart of humanity, to look for that which benefits all and not just benefits some, that which is good for the environment, that which brings health and healing. As we pray, we remember our nation. And in these weeks where storm and flood have hit so many parts of this nation, we pray for people who are coming to terms with the loss of life, the damage, the loss of property, and those things that are so personal and irreplaceable, as well as livelihoods and businesses. So we remember all who are coping, all who have the task of rebuilding, those who must make decisions about flood defences, those who fear what coastal erosion is doing. And in all of this, our ongoing need to care for our environment and reduce our use of fossil fuels. Guide us in our thinking and in our actions. We pray for the church. As we go through challenging times, guide our decision making at a local level, a regional level, and a national level. Give us strength and courage to live out the faith that we profess, not looking inward at our own problems, but remembering that you send us out to take your love into our community and the world beyond. And now a moment to pray for those whose need is known to us personally. We bring to you the joys and sorrows of family, friend and neighbour, knowing that you are the one who rejoices when we rejoice and weeps when we weep, that you are in every part of our living. So we take a moment of quiet for our private and personal prayer. We offer each of our prayers and requests in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 167, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. God's grace to love and to serve, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.